Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matambo.
Greetings, Brother Sam. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very fine.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you, man. And great to hear that. I must thank you also for, you know, agreeing to spend some time with us this week. And, you know, looking at the ripple effect of small acts of love. And to those who are joining us yes. now, do know that we are talking and joined on the line by Pastor Matambo, who is going to be addressing this topic with us. We're going to be dissecting this. And so we do expect you out there to also speak to us on +27 734 70 3520. We'd like to hear your comments. We'd like to hear what your views are. If you have any questions to our guest, please also send them through to that number. Now, we also do know that, you know, author Adam Scott Adams once wisely remarked, remember, there's no such a thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end. Kindness doesn't exist in isolation. Instead, it creates a domino effect where recipients of a kindness are themselves moved to do something kind for someone else, creating a ripple effect with a reach that extends far beyond what the eye can imagine. Now, we're going to be focusing on this very conversation this week. Pastor, what does the what does the Bible say about, you know, loving one another?
Okay, thank you. I was just checking from both my New Testament and my Old Testament, and I realized that Jesus, when he was asked by one of the certain scribes concerning the greatest and the first commandments, Jesus responded by mentioning loving one another as one of the greatest commandments. You find that in Mark chapter 12, verse 32, starting from verse 31. And Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The first one was love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second one was love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says, these two are the most important commandments which have ever been given by God. You read also in the Old Testament, you find the same thing. Leviticus 19, verse 18, it speaks the same thing. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the Jews called this the...
I think we're losing the pastor there. Pastor? Pastor Matambo? Pastor Matambo? Hello, Pastor Matambo? I think we are rather losing the pastor there. Man, he was actually talking about something like, you know, in the Old Testament, and we lost him as he was just referring to it. So we're going to be trying to get a hold of him once again so that we can actually, you know, have this particular conversation. Pastor Kenneth Matambo. Pastor Matambo, are you there?
Yes. I don't know what had happened to my line.
I'm not sure what happened either. But yeah, so you were referring us to, you were saying the Old Testament also what?
Oh, yes. The Old Testament also mentions the very same thing, that love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the Jews called this the great Shema of the Jews. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So the Bible is so emphatic on this issue. Loving one another is the mandate, the great mandate of heaven. And we are mandated by heaven to love one another. And it's the first and the great commandment.
Do you think there's a purpose of, you know, instructing us to love one another? Shouldn't that be natural for humanity, seeing that we are all the same? Why should it be an instruction? Why doesn't it come natural?
Yes, it could have been natural had we not fallen into the problem of sin.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we would have had a challenge in loving naturally, but we fell into sin, And Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. You read in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus actually says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So we are commanded to love, because if we are left to think on our own or to do as we please, remember, we are a sin-stricken world. We end up doing that otherwise. So we are commanded to love.
Now, is there a definition of love according to God, according to what Scripture says?
Okay. I haven't found a definition of love when I was reading my Bible. But what I found was how the characteristics of love. I haven't found where we are given the definition of love. The closest definition I found is that God is love. First John chapter 4, verse 8.
Yeah.
That's the closest definition I've found.
Oh.
But in most instances of the Bible, you'll find God and actually the writers of the Bible explaining what love does and what love does not do.
Oh, but not necessarily a definition, as it were.
Not necessarily a definition like the one you would find in a textbook or you find in a dictionary. You see.
Interesting, because somebody once told me that there is a definition according to what he understands, and he says love is a feeling that you feel when the feeling that you feel feels like the feeling that you've never felt before.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite interesting. I would actually give you my definition also of love, but not according to the Bible.
Not according to the Bible. Oh, okay.
Yes, but it can be supported by the Bible.
Ah, fantastic. All right. So
yes,
what is how would you define then according to you, and how would you understand it then as supported by the Scripture?
Okay. I would say love is when you share yourself or share things that belong to you with someone else for the benefit of that person, not for your benefit. And this we find in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So the one who loves shares his things with those he loves for the benefit of those that he loves, not for his benefit. So God gave us Jesus, not for his benefit, but for our benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
See, so it's love. Love is always giving. That's what I was saying, that when you go now to the Bible, you find characteristics of love. For instance, when you go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, it starts to tell you that love is kind, love is patient, love does not boast, all those things. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. So you characteristics of love causes the one who is loving to do for others, not for his or her benefit, but for the benefit of those that he is loving. That's love.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. Now, do we have the ability to love on our own power, at least to show love to those who we are fond of, you know, such as our family and friends?
Okay, well, when you say on our own power, you mean outside God?
Yeah, you know, that we are, because remember, God has created us in his own image. So assuming that if he has created us in his own image, we should therefore be able, literally with what he has given us or the abilities that he has given us, we should then be able to love with that power that he has given us without him assisting us.
Okay. Yeah. It's possible on only three kinds of love.
Okay.
By the way, let me take you to Greek. Greek.
Let me put on my thinking cap.
Okay, yeah. All right. In Greek, we've got four kinds of love.
Right?
Yes, and three kinds of love are possible without God helping us. But there is one kind of love that you cannot practice unless God is helping you. Let me speak of these four kinds of love. The first one is agape.
Okay.
This is unconditional love. It's divine, selfless love, mm-hmm. unconditional love. You love when even the object that you are loving is unlovable.
Is that,
so this one is called agape.
Is that the one that you get assistance from God in extending?
This one you cannot practice agape love unless God is helping you.
Unless He's assisting you to do it.
It's impossible. You can't have unconditional love unless you've got the love of God in you.
So naturally, it's going to be difficult to just do it on your own.
It can't. It's impossible.
Mm, okay.
But other stages of love, for instance, philia. Philia speaks of friendship love, mm-hmm. love for companions, those mm-hmm. that you work with. I know at Adventist World Radio, there are people that you work with.
Yes,
you
yes.
can have filial love with them mm-hmm. because you work together, you do things together. But mm-hmm. I want to tell you, with this love, there's a problem.
Okay.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
If someone leaves you or leaves the place that you are working together with and they go away, you might forget them over time.
Mm-hmm.
That's filial love. So you love them when you see them. But when they are not around, you might as well forget them.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it may even happen that if you have not come in contact with them on that day, you don't even think of them.
You don't even think of them.
Mm.
So with this love, you can practice it. Anyone can do this love. Even non-Christians, they can have such kind of love. Those who don't even believe there is God, they can have such kind of love. There is also eros. This is the love that takes us to bed with our wives or with any woman. We call it eros. It's romantic love.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, they have it, even if they don't know God, they have this kind of love. Yeah. We also talk of storge. Storge is the love that exists between family members. Even in a non-Christian family, a family that doesn't believe there is God, they love one another. They love one another as family members. But a time comes when they cannot practice unconditional love, even as family members, unless they know God.
Yeah.
Yes, they may love each other as family members. If a parent may love their child, a child may love his or her parents, but if the child doesn't have agape love, he or she cannot love his or her parents unconditionally. They will love to a certain limit, unless they've got unconditional love, the one that comes from God, then they can love their parents unconditionally.
Actually, you're saying is true, because I've heard many people who would say, I don't talk to my mother anymore. I don't talk to my dad anymore. Or me and my sibling are not in talking terms. We've last seen each other 15 years ago. I think I definitely buy that. Definitely.
Yeah. So what's lacking between those people is unconditional love. The moment they crossed lines with their parents or with their siblings, they found that they couldn't continue loving them. You see? They at some point loved them, but when they crossed lines, they found it difficult to love. But you see, agape love is unconditional love. You love when the object that you are loving is unlovable.
Yeah, quite a very serious one, that one. Now, what does our love for one another tell the world about our faith?
Okay. I'm sure you've heard about the famous Mahatma Gandhi. Indian lawyer who led the revolution of Mahatma Gandhi. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what he once said, one of his famous quotes?
Yeah, yeah.
He said that, I like your Christ. He was speaking to Christians. I like your Christ. Mm. I do not like your Christians.
Mm.
Your Christians are so unlike your Christ.
Mm.
You know what he was trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
He was trying to say that he could have loved Christians, yet they looked like Christ.
Mm. Mm.
But the challenge was that the Christians that he saw, or the Christians in his days, or the Christians that were around him, never practiced what Christ did.
I think he's also recorded as saying that if it were not for Christians, he himself would have been a Christian.
Exactly. You're correct. So what if we, if Christians today could love one another, the world out there could have loved Christianity. And by the way, when you read in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we are told that it is at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. And who called them Christians? It was the world. Not, they did not give themselves this name. The world which saw them loving one another is the world that said, those people have become like the one we know called Christ. So, if Christians or if we had loved one another, surely we could have done so much to parade our Christianity to the world. And the world would have accepted Christianity if Christians had done well to love one another.
You know, you remind me of that verse, I think that says that if you have love for one another, it says the world will know that you are my disciples.
The world will know that you are my disciples.
If you have love for one another.
If you have love for one another, yes.
That's a powerful
That's one. Very true.
Now, what are some small, simple, practical acts of love and kindness that we can practice, even starting today?
Okay. Speaking from a biblical perspective, James says that this is true religion when we look into the needs of others. Just simple things. Jesus also mentions the same thing when he says that when you saw me hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me water to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. So these are the things that we can start doing today. There are people sick around us. There are people who need food around us. You just go into the streets of Joburg or anywhere you go, you find people who have literally nothing to eat. And just buying something from the shop and handing it over to them as you go your way is what you can do to show acts of kindness. These are little acts of kindness. You can go further to look for those whom you can pay school fees for, people you can provide shelter with, and many things. But on a surface, just providing water, food, shelter, and attending to the sick, visiting those in prison, I think it's something that we can do as acts of kindness. If we are to love one another,
That's a lovely one. I think these are actually practical, and it's because I believe in my mind that carrying out a simple, small acts of kindness doesn't need to be thought about many times. So you don't have to plan and think about it, months on end to say, okay, I'm going to, when I get to that shop, I'm going to buy an extra loaf. And then, no, you don't have to think about it, plan about it. As you get to the shop, buy a little loaf of bread. You've seen a guy at the corner there, buy an extra loaf and drop it off as you are going your way. Doesn't need any planning for a year or two.
Yeah, you don't need to. Thank you so much for that.
Now, what is the ripple effect of such acts of love?
Okay. You know what I've realized is that one act of kindness usually triggers a chain of reactions, especially those who have received that act of kindness. They always go and do the same wherever they go. I was in one of the books, one of my favorite authors. There's a book called Historical Sketches of the Foreign Missions of Seventh-day Adventist. It's one page, 143, paragraph 5. I'm going to actually quote what the author has written. That shows that our influence can go beyond, it reaches far beyond what we think it can reach. When we do something small, it can continue to extend until it reaches the very end of the world. So the writer says here, we are all woven together in the great web of humanity. And God holds us responsible for the influence we exert over others. Throw a pebble. A pebble is a stone. Throw a pebble into the lake and a wave is formed. And another. And as they increase, the circle widens until they reach the very shore. Thus, our influence, though apparently insignificant, may continue to extend far beyond our knowledge and control. So, when you do something here, the person that has received your act of kindness will also do the same to another person, and that person will also do the same, that other person will also do the same, and it goes until we have got the entire society full of good works. The entire world can be changed by these acts of kindness. So you don't need to say, it's not about people doing it for you or returning the favor back to you. What you do, you don't need to expect that if I do something, I must receive the same thing. It might not happen that way. Whatever you do, just hope that the person who has received your acts of kindness will also do to another person.
Yes.
And it continues like that, like that, like that.
And you don't have to see it.
You don't have to see it, exactly. You don't have to see it. But once you set the ball rolling, it will continue to roll. Like when you roll a stone down the mountain, it continues to roll down until it reaches the very end. Yes. So that's what happens.
I actually believe that, because I have also been a beneficiary of kindness quite a number of times. And as a result of that, I've seen myself, to say, you know what, if a person needs this type of help, I've been assisted literally without any reservations. So you then...
Let me do the same.
You then want to pass it on to say, you know what, for the sake of that assistance that I had and the love that I received, I must also pass on this love to the next person. I think it's a wonderful thing. I do buy exactly what you are saying.
Now, that's very true.
Now, to conclude today's conversation, as it was an introductory conversation, what would you like to say to our listeners?
I think my final message would be that it pays to do good. It pays to do well. Somebody says, most people say that the good that you do will always come back to you. It's very true. Doing good is the only way to go. And do it not expecting that it will come back to you, but eventually God gives you back what you have done. So I would urge everyone in the world today that continue to do good, and you always have the reward of your good works.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Well, I must thank you so much, my pastor, for joining us today. It's been a fantastic one. Thank you so, so much. We are going to be joining you again tomorrow. In fact, we'll link up at the same time and at the same place. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you too.
Lovely.
Have a good day.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Sure.
Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.